Well, good morning, everybody. This is our chance to warm up our singing voices and have a bit of a hymn sing. So for the next few minutes, pick out your favorite hymn, raise your hand, and let me know the page your favorite hymn is on, and we'll sing away. Okay, I need a first volunteer. There we go, right here. Hymn 389. Any certain verses you would like?
It's only two verses.
Oh, okay, that makes it easy. Another hand. 701. 1 and 4. way back, Deb.
600.
1 and 3. 600, 1 and 3. Picks today, doing a good job. I think we have time for maybe one more. Yes.
314.
Any preference on verses?
1 and 3.
314, 1 and 3.
Boys, I
Thank you, Colleen. That was beautiful. What a way to get our morning started. Welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. Great to see everybody here this morning. It feels like we should be down south somewhere with the humidity and the clouds, but I'm sure we'll be back to hot and dry in probably a few days. So enjoy it if you like this weather, but if this isn't your favorite, rest assured it will change. And thank you, everybody, for being here. We trust that the Lord has brought you here for this time of worship and that we refine the message and the words we need to hear this day. At this time, we'll go to our announcements. First off, we have our birthdays that are in the month of September. Since this is starting it, we have a new slate of names, and we'll just read them here. We wish happy birthday to Judith Thompson, Judy Salveson, who is here with us this morning, Robert Forte, Carol Mertz, Helen Davis, Carolyn Manlow, Aaron Armstrong, Mark Pertel, and Chung Char, which is, I think Chung is here also. Yes, great. Well, happy birthday to our September folks, and hope that your new year is off to a great start. Next, also our newsletter is available, either printed version in the Narthex. You can also find it online through the church website, or I'm sure you could pick it up in the office if you happen to be stopping by during the coming weeks. This is the first Sunday of the month when we have our Good Samaritan offering can be provided to the church. You can place it in either of the offering plates out by the doors. And this is I know historically this is a fund that the pastor can use to assist those in need that may come to the church. Are we still kind of designating it for that purpose, the Good Samaritan Fund?
I don't remember exactly.
Yes, we use it one way or other to help those who are in.
There you go. So, okay, I know things change over time, so I just wanted to make sure I was giving you the correct information. But it is a good fund. It is an opportunity to help those who are in need. Also a reminder that we are the Serial Church, that we do accept really welcome offerings of boxes of cereal. These are provided over to the community's food bank for assisting those who are in need. So please give generously to our cereal fund, and we'll make sure that those boxes of cereal get to where they need to be. Coming up next is our pastor's luncheon, which will be on Wednesday, September 20th, 12 noon at the Legend 8 Chinese restaurant in Cala Mesa. It's a cost of $15 per person. And if you need transportation, please let the church office know, and we'll make sure we can find transportation for you. But I understand this is a great opportunity to fellowship and have some great food. Also coming up are the free Saturday movies. The next one will be on October 7th at 11 a.m. And our show will be I Can Only Imagine. And this will be in the Faith Theater 2. And then coming up on November 4th, to put on your schedules, will be another free movie, which is The New World, which is the story of John Smith, Pocahontas, and the exploration of Virginia. That really did change the world forever. And so put those two dates, October 7th and November 4th, on your calendars for some very good shows. Next, we have our Hearts Grow, and this occurs on the second and fourth Sundays of the month. And this is for children who can go to my right, your left, next door to the children's area there and have a time of fellowship and growth and some good time. So take advantage of that opportunity on the second and fourth Sundays. And next up is a reminder, pick up your shoebox across the way in the fellowship hall. This is a great opportunity to fill the shoeboxes with the items that are, there's lists that'll tell you for the types of items for 5 to 9 year olds, 10 to 14 year olds, and 2 to 4 year olds. And Again, this is, the boxes aren't due back until November, so we have a little time, but don't forget about them. But they would also like to, if you can, provide $10 for the shipping of the boxes that also occurs. But again, another great opportunity to help those in need. And then today at 11 a.m., we have the opportunity to watch and discuss the Chosen. And there is a food that will be offered during that opportunity. And I believe that is occurring in which room? Fellowship Hall. Fellowship Hall. Yes. There we go. At 11 a.m. And also for future opportunities of the Chosen, we are always looking for people to sign up for food that they can bring to that. And the last of season 3 episode is October 1st, so you have about a month that you can join this great opportunity. I believe that's all of our prepared announcements. Anything else from anyone?
We have new visitors this morning. Ooh, I'm awesome. So happy to see Roger and Betty Frankie. Yes, welcome. I like to know whether you happen to celebrate your birthday this month. No? Okay, all right. Jack's birthday was when? When was your birthday, Jack?
Last week.
I'm not gonna ask you what how old you are, but I think you are somewhere around 45. Right?
And holding.
And we have two people celebrating birthday this month, Young and Judith, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, both. Judith and Judy. Shall we sing happy birthday for them?
I think we should.
Yes.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, everybody. Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
And many, many more, yes. At this time, if you'd please stand as you are able, and we'll enter into our call to worship. May the Lord fill your heart with joy and your mind with purity.
May the Lord grant you peace that passes all human understanding.
May the Lord bestow upon you wisdom to be content in and any and every situation.
May the Lord meet all your need according to the riches of his glory.
And please remain standing for our hymn, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." Take a few minutes just to greet your neighbors and pass the peace and the love of God. Good morning.
Bobby, are you there? Is that you, Bobby? Would you be able to turn the microphone on so that Helen can talk to us? All right. So Helen, just hold on a little bit, okay? After a few minutes, I'd like to hear from you. Hold on. Wait just a little bit. All right. Yes, say hello to Helen, everybody. All right, Helen, so now talk to us. We'd like to know how you're doing. Fantastic. We are so glad that you could join us for Sunday worship every Sunday without failing. And we wish you all the best up there. We see June and Joyce as usual. And now April was in London last week. Now they are in Colorado. Very nice. I see snows in there.
We're home.
Well, you didn't have
That's
to tell us that.
That's a picture of
Colorado. Welcome back.
Thank you.
We see Carol's today. I don't know whether she's in California or in Texas. Good to see you, Carol.
Thank you, Philip. I'm in Texas.
All right.
I'm so happy to be able to be present with you. It's so heartwarming to see the church and to be in worship with you.
Very nice. Well, stay cool. Very nice. We have one on iPad, and so glad to see you all in here in the sanctuary.
Yes.
Since we're on Zoom, does anybody on Zoom have prayer requests? And we'll start with you today. Go ahead, June.
Yeah, I have a request for both my grandson and my nephew and his wife. They are fighting a really strong case of COVID that they're having trouble with. So I'd like for healing for them.
Anyone else on Zoom?
Deb, would you repeat what June has asked?
June said that she has a nephew and his wife that have had a really strong case of COVID, so she would like prayers for them.
Also my grandson.
And her grandson. Thanks, June.
Okay. Very nice. Okay. We'll pray. Yes.
For those in the congregation today, if you have a joy or concern, please raise your hand and Deb will bring you the microphone.
Oh. I expected her to go to the front. Hi, I'm Judy Salveson, and my brother is still in the care facility and will be in there until September 26th. And I talked to the nurse practitioner, well, the charge nurse yesterday, and they don't know what he's going to be like when he gets out, so it could be even a longer recovery. He's not doing great. I mean, they're getting him up and putting him in a gym and trying to walk him and stuff, but he's very, very weak still, and continuing with the antibiotics, et cetera. And then, but that's looking good kind of down the line, hopefully, and prayers are requested for that. I also talked to Carolyn Smith Manlow this last week, and she has just finished up her sixth bout of chemotherapy, and she didn't do very well with it all. She would have, like, 2 weeks of feeling bad after the chemo, 1 week of feeling good, and then start it over again. And so she's requesting prayers. She did finish. She's going to go for probably a PET scan this next week to find out how everything went. And she's also asking for prayers for Jim because he's having trouble walking. And this is an after effect of the COVID that he had 2 years ago. He fell and couldn't walk for like 3 weeks when he had COVID. So he's struggling with that right now, and he's very frail, she said. So prayers for them. Thank you.
I'd also like prayers for Rachel. She's struggling through a lot of the after effects of her chemo, and she's not doing well, but she has a scan coming up next Friday, and I'm hopeful that it will give her good results.
I'd like us all to remember all the people in Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. I noticed Hawaii and stuff was mentioned in the bulletin. I have been through the experience with a hurricane to the tune of 12 inches of water in a house and a few other things. And I will tell you, my experience was incredibly mild compared to what these people are dealing with. And just please remember them in your prayers and whenever you can. Thank you.
I'm also, I'm Trudy, and I'm also still praying for my brother Randy in Florida. And the family has really struggled to get everybody together for him. He is now diagnosed with cancer in his lung, pulmonary fibrosis. He had a heart attack, and he still, and he has a cancer in his brain. His wife flew, drove through the hurricane to to him, and she was lucky she bypassed it somewhat. But my sister kind of got a bee in her bonnet, and she drove down from Maine, and she had just had a cancer removed from her head, so we were all concerned about her. But she did get 2 hours to visit with her brother, and she's back on her way home. So, yeah, it's a lot, and family's been pretty busy this week. But pray for Randy. He is home with his wife in the mobile home. They'll start radiation on Tuesday, I believe. Thank you.
I wonder if, Kenny, have you heard anything about your folks down in the Florida?
People haven't been really getting hit, but up north in Cedar Key, up in the Big Bend area, they got hit really bad. I know people all over the state, but they got hit really bad.
I have a praise. My dad has had debilitating deterioration in his lower back, and he qualifies for a vertiflex procedure where they insert little stabilizers into the vertebrae and open up the nerve pathways. So thankful answer to prayer, and also pray for my next door neighbor, Dave, who's struggling with leukemia and has been for a while.
Okay. Key West didn't really get hit with that storm, but up in the northwest coast, Cedar Key in the Big Bend area got hit, got hammered really bad. There's a lot of damage up there. So I'm not sure if, how many. I think there's some fatalities, but a lot of property damage, and you know, it's just devastating. It's like last year, the I-name storm went up and hit the southwest coast of Florida and tore it up really bad. You know, so lots of damage there as people are really hurting. And of course, UMCOR is there. You know, like everywhere, every disaster, some of the first there and some of the last to leave. And you can get with them online if you want to donate to help any of those folks. You know.
Hi, my name is Pat Shores. I have two things that I think are nice rather than problems. One was yesterday was our Saturday movie that we have once a month. It was a wonderful movie. I give Deb credit for picking the movies, and then they always serve good food that you can have with the movie, so it's great. My second joy is I get to go today after church with my sister Allison down to see the babies. She went yesterday, but she couldn't wait for me to go to the church movie, so she went anyway. But she's going again today, and I get to go with her, so that's my joy. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Okay, if we'll please join with me in our unison prayer, which you'll find on the screen or in the bulletin. Let us pray. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence, remembering all those people who have brought to our attention and the people that God has placed in our life, that we hold them dearly, and people everywhere that we know of who are suffering from many different kinds of natural disasters and wars. Lord, we believe in your living presence in our lives. We go through troubles of many different kinds all the time in this world. But, oh Lord, you are there with us regardless. We believe in your Holy Spirit who works invisibly in our lives. And with the Holy Spirit's empowerment, oh Lord, we receive strength and health that we can handle all kinds of challenges that this life brings. We are so grateful that we have this privilege of personal access to come to you. There's no barrier, there's no obstacles. Jesus, remove all of those barriers from our path to come to you, O Lord. And now we have this free access to you through the grace of Jesus Christ. So we come to you, O Lord, with open hearts and ask you to come unto us through your grace, through the power of your Holy Spirit, and touch us one more time as we worship you this morning, that we may experience your power, your living presence, your guiding hands once more. Lord, you know where we are in life. You know what we are going through. You know what we need even before we ask. So, Lord, we just lift up our hearts and lift up prayers for all those loved ones that you have placed in our lives, and ask you to manifest your power, your living presence once more, that we all may receive reassurance of your love for each and every one of us, and may receive courage and strength to fight on and continue on. Our hearts are open for you to work among us and within us this morning, O Lord. And we invite you to come in and touch us like no one can, because you are our healer. You are the one who knows exactly what the problems in our lives, and you can fix them all. So we bring all the burdens of this life that we've been carrying upon our shoulders, and we want to bring them and give them to you this morning, that we may be liberated from all the cares and concerns and burdens, and give them to you so that you may work on them. We thank you, Lord, for working in our behalf. We know even though we go through troubles all the time, you have the full control over our lives, no matter how we understand our life. And to you and to your power, we yield and ask you to continue to fulfill your good and perfect will upon our lives, upon this church, upon this community, upon the life of our loved ones, and upon this world today. So now, as one community of faith, we now pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Praying together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And you may remain seated for our next hymn, which is Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
This morning's scripture lesson will come from the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verses 31 through 45. You were looking, O king, and there appeared a great statue. The statue was huge, its brilliance extraordinary. It was standing before you, and its appearance was frightening. The head of that statue was fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its midsection and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. As you looked on, a stone was cut out, not by human hands, and it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were all broken in pieces, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, so that not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That was the dream. Now we will tell the king its interpretation. You, O king, the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, the might, and the glory, into whose hand he has given human beings wherever they live, the wild animals of the field, and the birds of the air, and whom he has established as ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. After you shall arise another kingdom, and inferior to yours, and yet a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over the whole earth. And there shall be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron. Just as iron crushes and smashes everything, it shall crush and shatter all these. As you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom. But some of the strength of iron shall be in it, as you saw the iron mixed with the clay. As the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly brittle. As you saw the iron mixed with clay, so will they mix with one another in marriage. But they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of those kings of the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall this kingdom be left to another people. It shall crush all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. Just as you saw that a stone was cut from the mountain not by hands, and that it crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, and the silver, and the gold. The great God has informed the king what shall be hereafter. The dream is certain, and its interpretation trustworthy. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. So good to see you all in here. I know some of us are under the weather, but it's great to have rain always here in Southern California. I pray that we all have a personal visit from the Holy Spirit and from God, that we may have an intimate fellowship, that we may hear the messages that God has prepared for all of us to hear this morning. It was the height of the war. The captain of the British ship was searching the North Atlantic for signs of the German Navy. Finally, up in the distance, he saw a German cruiser shelling a cargo ship. The first mate said to the captain, "Shall I summon the men to battle stations?" The captain looked up at the one-sided fray and indicated that nothing be done. He said, "That isn't sporting, but it is war." The German ship started to spray the ocean with depth charges. Soon an oil slick showed that a submarine had been hit. Still, the captain refused to order battle stations. As debris from the British submarine floated upward, the German captain raised his hand in victory and spat at the chunks of metal and wood. Seeing this, the British captain turned to his first mate and said, "Battle stations immediately." The first mate asked, "Why would you order them now?" The captain said, "When he sank a cargo ship, that was the misfortune of war. The destruction of our submarine was unfortunate, but part of the game. However, when he spits in our ocean, it's battle stations." It is true that wars are often ignited by very silly reasons. Let me give you a couple of examples. El Salvador played soccer with Honduras during the World Cup in 1969. Hondurans won the first match in Honduras. El Salvadorians won the second match played in El Salvador. After the game, upset Hondurans attacked El Salvadorians living in Honduras. El Salvador won the third match, but was still unhappy with Honduras for not taking action against crime committed against El Salvadorians. El Salvador, therefore, began attacking Honduras, and the two nations soon started the war that lasted 4 days. And a couple of thousands on both sides died, and around 300,000 El Salvadorians living in Honduras were injured. What started the war? A silly soccer game. Ensuing Mexico's independence from Spain in 1821, Mexico suffered civil unrest during which a pastry shop that belonged to a French chef was ransacked. The French owner asked the Mexican government to compensate for the damage. As his request was ignored, pastry shop, he appealed to the King of France, who demanded the Mexican government for the compensation. And the conflict led to a war that lasted 4 months in 1838. What started the war? A ransacking a pastry shop. And if you would allow me, I would even include Russia's invasion of Ukraine in the same category. It all started because of Putin's selfish ambition for world dominance. According to the New York Times, the total number of Ukrainian and Russian troops killed or wounded since the war began is nearing 500,000. Putin came to power in 2000, and because of the term limit, he was removed from the presidency in 2008, but still held on to power as the prime minister of Russia. He was re-elected president in 2012. The constitution was amended in 2020, which allows him to legally stay in office until 2036. The world has learned that he is the same as or the worst kind of totalitarian leader than his predecessors during the communist era. Putin may want to remain in power, but history shows tyrants will dispose of their position tragically. Putin is not an exception to this principle and will lose his grip sooner or later. No rulers, either good or bad, escape the universal cycle of the rise and fall of nations. Speaking of the rise and fall of nations, the Bible covers not only the fates of Israel, but also some of the greatest nations in human history. The book of Daniel, in particular, covers four great empires. Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel was Nebuchadnezzar II, who came to power in 605 BC after his father, Nabopolassar, died. He destroyed the Jerusalem temple and the city in 586 BC. Through military campaigns, he expanded the Babylonian territory and built wealth along with it. The Bible records that Nebuchadnezzar took all the treasures of the Jerusalem temple to Babylon. He was regarded as the greatest emperor of the Babylonian Empire and enjoyed prosperity over four decades. He restored the beautiful Easter Gate and built a great ziggurat, both of which remain today. One excellent example of his building project was the Hanging Garden of Babylon, which is regarded as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. A tradition says that he built it for his wife, Amytis, to help her feel less homesick for the mountains of Media. It was a high-rise building of 75 feet and houses exotic shrubs, vines, and trees with water flowing at all levels. They invented water rising screws to pump water from the Euphrates to the upper level of gardens. As it was shown in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, he lived in the glorious days of a golden head. The Babylonian Empire ended when Cyrus the Great of Medes and Persia cleverly dug canals, diverted water to sneak into an enemy stronghold easily, and attacked the city of Babylon in 539 BC. Medes and Persian was the part that corresponded to the chests and arms of silver. An interesting observation is that all taxes were paid in silver during this empire. Daniel continued to serve the new king Cyrus the Great, who set free the Jewish exiles to return to their homeland and issue an edict to rebuild the Jerusalem temple. The third kingdom that belonged to the part of the belly and thighs of bronze was Greece. Alexander the Great succeeded his father Philip and became the king of Macedon in 336 BC and conquered Medo-Persia in 331 BC. Greece remained in power until about 186, and there are a lot of different opinions about the date, but Greek soldiers were called brazen-coated. Because of their bronze armor. So, you know, interestingly, it was the part of belly and thighs of bronze in the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream. The fourth kingdom, with legs of iron and feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay, was Roman Empire. Romans began to conquer ancient Greece in 182 BC and definitively occupied the Greek world in 31 BC. Now, You know, this may be a little bit boring of the history lessons, but look at it. What caused the demise of those great empires? It's simply very, you know, it's easy to see. The demise was caused by wars, right? War caused the collapse of the Babylonian Empire, and the war caused the collapse of the Medo-Persian Empire, Greece Empire, and Roman Empire. Actually, history is filled with endless wars. In my personal opinions, and you know, you don't have to agree with me, but in my personal opinions, we are fighting, the whole world is fighting world wars. It is, to me, Third World War. It's a different kind of war that we saw, the history saw, during the First World War and Second World War. They were fought with the military weapons. And the Third World War is going the same, but in a more sophisticated way. Russia and Ukraine are fighting on the surface, but most of the Western allies are united to support Ukraine. They may not send their troops to the actual battlefield, but are fighting Russia together indirectly. To me, this is a world war. So what do we see in the message, in the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar and the interpretation of the dream by Daniel? And what do we see in all through the history? The world is in turmoil always. The world is in turmoil always. Remember the word of Jesus in John 16:33? He said, I have said this to you. He talked about the imminent death, his, you know, death and suffering. That in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In the world you have tribulation. You know, in that very word, Jesus summarized how this human history runs. It's the continuation of tribulation after tribulation. That's how human history runs. Many of us mistakenly think that trouble-free condition and the absence of war are prerequisite for peace. According to Jesus, they are not. He says, despite trouble, you may see the tribulation after tribulations, but you still can get to enjoy peace that comes from me. That's what Jesus said. And one incident in history proves that what Jesus said is true. Peace during the First World War really happened on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day of 1914. The following is an article that I found from Times.com. British, Belgian, and French soldiers left their trenches and mingled with German soldiers during Christmas. It was a miracle, a rare moment of peace, just a few months into a war that would eventually claim over 15 million lives. Graham Williams of the 5th London Rifle Brigade described it in great detail. First, the Germans would sing one of their carols, and then we would sing one of ours until when we studied up, O come all ye faithful. The Germans immediately joined in singing the same hymn to the Latin words, Adeste Fideles. And I thought, well, this is really a most extraordinary thing. Two nations both singing the same carol in the middle of a war. The next morning, in some places, German soldiers emerged from their trenches, calling out Merry Christmas in English. Allied soldiers came out warily to greet them. In others, German held up sign reading, You no shoot, we no shoot. Over the course of the day, troops exchanged gifts of cigarettes, food, buttons, and hats. Christmas truce also allowed both sides to finally bury their dead comrade, whose bodies had lain for weeks on no man's land, the ground between opposing trenches. The phenomenon took different forms across the Western Front. One account mentions a British soldier having his hair cut by his pre-war German barber. Another talks of a pig roast. Several mention impromptu kickabouts with makeshift soccer balls, although contrary to popular legend, it seems unlikely that there were any organized matches. In the height of war, enemies found peace in Christ, even though it only lasted a couple of days. But this speaks the very truth that Jesus was talking about. In the world, you may have the tribulation. Actually, you do. But I give you my peace. You can have my peace regardless of the circumstances. The entire world has just come out of the pandemic, but it was not the end of our troubles. We are experiencing economic woes, wars, and natural disasters in many places. But what are we witnessing today is not new, but a repetition of history. An external peace in the world is hard to come by. But it is surely possible to have peace of Christ in our hearts that lasts in the midst of woes and wars. Let us look at our lives. Are we troubled by anything? Let us not be alarmed, for it is how our life runs, as Jesus indicated in his word. But the peace of Christ is ours to keep, regardless what is going on out there. May the Christ peace be with us now and forever. Amen. Now let us prepare ourselves to come to the table of Christ's mercy. And if you would, you can turn to page 13 of our hymnal. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As we participate in breaking the bread, let us remember we all receive from the body of Christ the peace that belong to his body, given to us and for us for the forgiveness of our sins. As we partake in drinking from the cup that Jesus prepared for us, let us remember Jesus shed his blood even to the very last drop for the forgiveness of our sins. So with gratitude and thanksgiving, let us now take the body and drink his blood. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you constituted this sacrament so that we can remember you, remember your sacrifice and your love, that we may remember that our sins are forgiven by your grace. Thank you for what you did for us in Calvary. May we give our lives to you as you gave yours for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. In this time of presenting our tithes and offerings, just a reminder that you may leave your tithes or offerings in the back in the offering plates. Also, you may drop them off at the church office or mail them in. And thank you for your continued diligence in supporting our church.
Blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Lord Jesus Christ, even if we have thousands, tongues, we cannot express our gratitude enough to you. We owe everything we have unto you, O Lord, for you gave everything you have for our salvation. So we give you this thanksgiving and acknowledge that you are the source of all the blessings, that you are our sustainer and our redeemer. We ask you to receive this offering and bless it, that it may be used to build your kingdom through the mission and ministries of this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul."
Delightful it is, O Lord, to be able to say, it is well with my life. It is well with my soul. It is well with you in our life. So, Lord, we know that we will see troubles over and over again as we have seen them in the ages past. But, O Lord, may we have this faith that we may be able to confess, it is well with my soul, regardless our life circumstances, because you are in our life and you have everything under your control. And you have promised this peace that remain in our life. So, Lord, bless us all as we leave this place of worship and send us forth with this enduring and lasting peace in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be afraid, God will go with you each hour, every day. Oh, now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true, oh, He will guide you in all you do. Oh, now in love, and sure you believe, reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above.